Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Brad Klein, veteran golf course architecture writer and consultant and longtime colleague of mine in the golf biz. Hey, Brad, welcome to Sports Interview.
I can't believe it's fall and we're waiting on the Masters next week. It is so weird, but then everything has been weird this year.
I know. Talk about, like, weirdness all the way around. So let's get right to it. Let's talk Masters, as this championship is set to begin on Thursday, a November Masters. What are your overall thoughts about having this prestigious championship in November?
It's going to be very weird. I think it's going to be weirder than watching the U.S. Open at Wingfoot without spectators, because we're all accustomed to that wonderful ritual of the roars and down at Amen Corner and the spectators going nuts and the players, you know, hitting the backgrounds and shots and the beautiful azaleas and the flowering plants. And all that's going to be kind of monotone. It's going to be green. It's probably going to be a little cooler. Might even be wetter if the forecast holds up. And there won't be anybody out there except, you know, the players and maybe the guys holding the scorecard. You know, the scores for each group, but that's it. So it's going to be a it'll really hit home when they get to the 12th hole, that little par three in the corner. So it's going to be not as colorful, not as loud, not as much of the Masters, but it's, you know, by Sunday afternoon, it'll probably rev up and it'll have that drama that it seems to have every year.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, I've been covering the Masters 22 straight years and, To cover a championship with no patrons, whether it's, you know, the U.S. Open or the Open Championship or the PGA, whatever, it's just so weird without spectators. But at Augusta National, because of the way it's set up and because, you know, the whole place erupts and echoes when, you know, somebody makes a birdie or when you know, somebody makes a great shot. You know, it's just going to be so quiet on the hallowed grounds at Augusta National. So I'm wondering how this may affect the players. And you know, the veterans, the champions love the noise. They love to hear the roars. Maybe some of the, you know, the younger players won't be as nervous because they don't have, you know, the rows and rows of patrons watching. What do you think about how the lack of spectators, the lack of the patrons, as they call them at Augusta National, how will that affect the players, do you think?
Well, you know, some of the ritual won't be there. They're not even going to have the Wednesday afternoon par three event this year. And, you know, it's going to be an event. I think you're right. I think it's going to help a first-time player. I think it's going to help someone who is more comfortable in their own skin, you know, quieter guy like Patrick Cantlay, for example, might have and someone who's, or Tyrrell Hatton, he may end up wearing a hoodie, by the way. It would be funny to watch.
But, that's almost sacrilege at Augusta National.
Well, I don't know if there's a dress code that's part of the local rule there. So in that sense, you know, I think Tiger would be more comfortable with a lot of people there. I think Mickelson would be, Garcia. I think Bryson DeChambeau would be more comfortable. But, you know, they're professionals. They have a great capacity to reduce everything to their own little cocoon in their brains and with their caddies. And so they'll all adjust. But it will not feel the same for viewers. I think that's going to be the harder sensibility to accommodate. And,
sure,
and by the way,
you know,
they're not going to sell as much merchandise.
Well, here's – okay, two things about that. I already got the email that I could go to the website. If you are a credential holder or a patron, a ticket holder from the past, you had to fill out, you know, a form, put in your email, and they sent you the website where you could go and purchase 2020 Masters products and memorabilia. And some of it, you know, they have the gnome that's dressed up in a Santa outfit. Some of it is really more collectible items because of, you know, the novelty of having the Masters in November as opposed to April. So I went on right away, and I did a lot of my Christmas shopping, let's just put it that way. So they are going to sell, I think, a lot of merchandise online. And another interesting development with this Masters being held in November, Brad Klein, is that ESPN Game Day is going to be broadcasting on the grounds of Augusta National, which kind of shows me that Augusta National is really trying to change with the times. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
It's college football season. They're going to do it on the Saturday, and it's going to lead into the coverage of the third round. And then after that third round, you're going to have a college football game. And just to have ESPN Game Day on the premises there, that's going to be outstanding, don't you think? Very different, though.
They're going to dress up in mascots? I got to tell you, though, I want to just say this. I'm a when it comes to memorabilia and accessories and all sorts of stuff, I'm a purist. I don't think you should be allowed to wear a hat for a golf course you haven't been on. And I just don't think the merchandise is as valuable emotionally when you buy it online as when you – there's nothing like that rush toward the merchandise mart at Augusta National and the way it operates and the efficiency and – you know, it just zooms right through. And so to me, that's, we're going to miss that as well. So just one of those
things. I know, totally different. But anyway, let's talk about the differences with the Masters being held in November rather than in April. As you know, in terms of how do you think the course is going to be? I looked at the temperature, the forecast, it's going to be in the 70s, which actually, you never know what you're going to get weather-wise, you know, down there in November, but it's going to be warmer. They might have some rain. But you know, I've read some articles where it says the wind is going to be a north wind, and that means it's going to, the players may have the wind against on the first hole and on a couple of the par fives.
It's interesting. I hadn't looked at that. I'm always a little, what's the word, suspicious about that. But in terms of, you know, weather is so variant, but if that's the case, a north wind will play against the players on 8, the uphill 5 par. It'll play straight downwind on 2, and it'll be a crosswind on right-to-left crosswind on 13 and 15. Now, the big difference, of course, is not so much that the weather's going to be a little different. Even if the temperatures get into the 70s, they're not going to get into the 80s. It's going to be cooler in the morning. And you're losing 2.5 hours of sun, 2 hours and 20 minutes of sunlight. So the afternoons are going to be chill. This lower sun angle means that the golf course won't dry off quite as much because any moisture in the morning, if there's rain or if they do any irrigation, it's not going to dry off as fast because the sun won't get above the tree line. You have those conifers, those have permanent leaves, so to speak, or coverage, you know, so that it's going to hide the sun a little bit. So it's going to be a little cooler even in the morning and a little wetter and a little bit marginally slower. The overseed will be fully established. So the idea that ryegrass isn't fully developed, the overseeded ryegrass, I don't think that's true. And then, of course, the big difference, which we haven't gone to, was a guy named Bryson DeChambeau, who's added 20 yards to his average drive this year. And so I think the most interesting thing, and I wrote about this on for the website, morningread.com, is they're going to be turning some of these par fives, particularly the 2nd, the 13th, and the 15th, into drive and wedge par fives. And that's going to be weird to watch. So to me, the really interesting thing is the potential. And it's not just Bryson DeChambeau, but it's Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas and John Rahm and all these players who have added yardage, worked harder on their swings and increased their RPM. And Xander Schauffele, for example. So it's going to be very interesting to see the clubs they hit into these holes. The golf course is about 7480, but par 72, to me, the real issue is you give it par 72, the whole field is 800 before they start through the week. They average 4.6 on the par fives. They basically birdie one out of every two. They're going to be hitting, some of them are going to hit short irons into the second hole, that's going to be, they're going to catch the crest and run down and be within 220 yards of that hole. They'll be hitting 6 and 7, 8 irons into that hole, which is new. So
right. I know you recently wrote about this, as you mentioned in Morning Read. The article is titled, Can Augusta National Withstand the Onslaught?
Yeah.
You know, can it? Is it making Augusta National completely outdated, in your opinion?
Well, I do think it's making any par 72 course on the PGA Tour that's only 7,400, that's under 7,500 yards. They are, I wouldn't say obsolete, but they don't provide the strategic challenge that they used to. So, now, Augusta is not going to change par 72. Historically, that's been the standard. They've been playing that. You know, you'd hate to tell all of a sudden make the 15th hole into a four par, because you can't then match or compare the shots you hit now with what Gene Sarazen did when he made double eagle to tie Craig Wood back in 1935. I think I covered that for Golf Week, by the way, back then.
well, you know, DeChambeau, he missed a high percentage of fairways when he won the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. He only hit, 23 fairways. Now, if he misses that many fairways at Augusta National, don't you think he's going to be more penalized? Obviously, he had to come out of the deep rough at Wingfoot. But in your opinion, how much more important is it for these long bombers to be more accurate off the tee at Augusta National?
Not at all. So a couple of things, and you raised some very good points, as usual. DeChambeau at Wingfoot hit slightly above the average for the field for the week, 23 fairways for the week. That's only four or five fairways. What is it? It's under six fairways around. That's his winning total of 23 fairways was the lowest total in the last 40 years of anyone who's won an Open. It was enough there because those fairways were fairly narrow. Everybody was missing fairways. At Augusta National, the fairways are 50 yards wide, and there's no real rough. There's a light, you know, half an inch, well, maybe an inch thicker in the rough. The fairways are probably 0.4 inches. The approaches are cut to 1/4 inch. The rough might be, or what they call first cut. I have to be careful, of course. It's about an inch and a quarter, maybe an inch and a half. But they're miles wide, so accuracy is never the issue there. And it's a power game now down there. If you can get a short iron in your hand to the greens that were designed for a 5 and 6 iron, you have a tremendous advantage. So
I agree. I mean, you do have the pine trees, but you have the tall pines, you have the pine needles. I mean, you obviously have much wider fairways to deal with, but you still can't be completely, you know, off the course, you know, with your tee shot. But you know, he has the short game and if it's, obviously, you have to make the putts. So he has to balance everything out. But one thing that was interesting that I took from your article was that if you can hit it over a certain distance, like I think you said between 320 and, you know, over 320 or 330, yeah, you're likely to get that forward roll and even more distance. So I think that's where it really comes into an advantage for these long hitters, because if you get past those bunkers, as you mentioned, on holes 1, 2, 5, 8, and I think 18.
Right. Yeah.
Then, 18, you're uphill. But on a lot of these holes, you're going to get even that forward roll.
Well, there's a little bit of a flat spot beyond the bunkers on 18 as well. So here's the thing. The key is Augusta National, brilliant routing by McKenzie and Bobby Jones. It's basically high point of a tee to a high point where the fairway is to a high point where the green is. And in between, it dips down. So if you can carry to the top of the apex of the fairway, it often shoots forward beyond into the low dip in between that point and the green. That's the first hole. It's the second hole. It's the fifth hole. It's the 10th hole for sure, which is downhill all the way. And even on 18, you get it above a certain point, and the fairway flattens out before it shoots uphill again. The other thing is that, and those carry points are all about 320 off the back tee. The other thing is when they redesigned the bunkers, and Tom Fazio rebuilt them a few years ago, all the bunkers are effectively 330 yards off the back tee to carry. If you get it past the bunker on 8, the par 5, it's going to shoot forward to some extent. If you get it past the bunker on 2, it's going way down the hill. Same thing on 1, down the hill. Same thing on 5, way down the hill. So the long hitter gets a turbo boost advantage there, and that's because those courses were never designed or anticipated for 330-yard drives. They figured the average drive, you know, when I caddied on the tour in the late 70s, early 80s, the average drive was 250, 255. It carried about 240. Would have gotten you to the top of the hill, and on the first hole, you're hitting 6-iron and 7-iron. And now they're all hitting 8 and 9 wedges. So the differences in terms of how the ball and equipment and the player scale, all of those have evolved, have changed how Augusta presents challenges to the modern contemporary player. It's not, doesn't affect as much the average golfer, but it affects the college golfer, the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour players dramatically. So that's what we're going to see.
And of course, with Bryson DeChambeau tweeting out that he drove the ball over 400 yards carry with a 40-inch drive, not even with a 48-inch driver. It'll be interesting to see if that actually takes place at Augusta National. I wonder
it's going to be interesting to watch if he shows up with a 48-inch driver. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Do you wonder if Tiger Woods is impressed with DeChambeau? With, you know, obviously Tiger at one point, you know, was the one that everybody was just blown away by, you know, the length of his drives, and now he gets blown away by so many other guys who, you know, are younger and playing obviously more regularly. But do you think Tiger is impressed with DeChambeau's length?
He won't admit it, but of course. Now, you know, but Tiger was doing the same thing back in 97 when he won. When he won the Masters in 97 and broke through with that great victory, he never hit more than a 7-iron into a 4-par. And that was revolutionary. So they've added 400 or 500 yards to the course, and now everybody's hitting 6-7. Well, they're hitting 8-irons, 9-irons into 4-pars now. Tiger, I think, is enough of a fan of the history of the game to know that it evolves. I think the difference is he does not have, this is not a criticism, it's just an observation of where he is physically. He doesn't have the reserve RPM in his body to generate that kind of speed. And now he has to rely upon more of a wily, strategic shot making game and short game and recovery. But that's hard to do. You know, now Zach Johnson did it. You can do it at Augusta National. Immelman did it a few years ago. Zach Johnson did it when he laid up on all the 5-pars. So the course allows for it, but boy, you better be on your game, and you're up against a lot. So it's going to be very, very interesting to watch this play out. And part of the reason is that Augusta National, the Masters, is the only tournament in the world, really, where we could imagine them declaring a tournament ball one year. They could probably do it. What are you going to do? People are going to sit out because it's a tournament ball?
So, exactly.
You know, I laid out, if they wanted to, and they wanted to spend all the money, they got enough land out there. They've acquired all this land. They could actually move a lot of holes and dramatically change that golf course and make it into 8,100 yards. I don't think they will, but they could.
Right. I know. They obviously purchased that land behind the tee on the par 5 13.
Yeah.
They were saying they were kind of taking a wait and see attitude. I know Fred Ridley said last year that they wanted to see, you know, what the golf community comes out with, you know, whatever this book is they're waiting for to come out, you know, with the USGA and the RNA. Do you think they're gonna temper with the golf course to deal with the long hitters?
Well, I'm surprised that they haven't introduced the new tee on 13. They bought a 5-acre parcel from Augusta Country Club for $23 million, and they could easily add 50 to 60 yards to the 13th hole, which I think would be great. It would restore the integrity of the drive and bring that arm of Rays Creek into play on the left side, and you'd have to work the ball, and I'm surprised they haven't. They could do it easily. If they don't, they're not going to do it this year, but they might well do it in time for 2021, which is only, by the way, 6 months away.
Right. So. I know, right? Yes, I know. The book I was looking for, the report, it's the USGA and the RNA are publishing what they're calling a distance insights project report. And apparently the powers that be at Augusta National are kind of taking a wait and see approach to see what is published in this report. Are they going to, you know, do anything? Will they change the ball? Will they put any regulations, you know, with any technology? Will, you know, what will Augusta National do? That's the big question.
Well, I got to tell you, I wrote up that report for the USGA Golf Journal this year. When that report came out in February, they asked me to write kind of a summary for the USGA Golf Journal. I read it very carefully. They had promised in there, it's a very preliminary sense of the distance issue and the factors that contribute to the longer drives on the at Elite Golf. They promised a follow-up in the spring of 2021. That's been put on the back burner, so to speak, because of COVID. So any anticipated moves by the combined USGA, RNA are going to await, you know, more time. And nothing, I'm convinced, nothing will be done or issued by the USGA and RNA before the 2021 Masters. So.
Wow. Okay. All right. So what do you think they should do? If it were you making the call at Augusta National, what would you do, Brad?
I believe in bifurcation. I believe that the it's already a different game. When you swing in 115, 120, or Bryson DeChambeau, 132 miles an hour, and you have the launch monitors and you have that kind of skill, and you're dealing with 1/100th of 1% of the golfers in the world, I think it's a, you know, they use aluminum bats in college. They don't use aluminum bats in the majors. So they have different rules in baseball. They have different rules in every sport. And I think they need to have different rules for the way the professional game is played. Now, it's an issue, what, you know, do those same rules pertain to the amateur golf? They can figure that one out. It's not that complicated. But I think they need to have a ball that doesn't go as far, or whose performance, what I would prefer is a ball whose performance deteriorates above a certain RPM, so that you would learn to kind of control its speed. And steer it and maximize the performance, but beyond a certain velocity, you could design a dimple pattern where the performance deteriorates. So there's a lot they could do aerodynamically. I think the easiest control mechanism is the ball. I have no doubt that a big part of the changes in distance over the years has to do with the health, the training, the physical preparedness of these athletes and their athletes now. Psychologically, they're more attuned. The training is better. The clubs are more consistent. The sweet spots are bigger. But the easiest thing to control is the ball. And that's what I would focus on.
Last question, because we're running out of time, Brad. Who are you picking to win the Masters?
DeChambeau. No question. I hope he shoots 40 under, actually.
He's the betting favorite for sure. And certainly a good pick by anybody for sure with his distance.
Well, it's the easy pick. But, you know, it's hard to remember. Tiger Woods has been defending champion at Augusta for 18 months now. We kind of forgot all of how great that last Masters were. And you know what? For all this discussion on distance, that Masters was decided on the 12th hole when five of the last six players dunked it in the water with a 9.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That's still the
Tiger just happened to use the right club with that wind. He was a smart guy. You know, he knows the course and the conditions so much, you know, so well that he played it so smart, and it was a magical win for Tiger for sure.
Yeah.
Brad, and thank you so much.
We haven't seen Molinari since.
That's true.
Amazing turn. We have not seen him challenge in a tournament. That was an amazing series of events that led to Tiger's winning. Great for golf and good for him.
Right. Well, of course, with COVID, we weren't going to see him too much this year, but hopefully he'll be back. He's enormously talented.
I never underestimate his potential.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Brad Klein, veteran golf course architecture, writer, and consultant. Thanks so much with your insights on the Masters And we'll catch you on another time soon to talk about everything else you're working on.
And we talked in 1993 at Baltus for All on radio, and I hope we don't have to wait 27 years for the next time.
Not a chance. We'll get you on much sooner. Thanks so much.
You too. Enjoy.